Welcome to Canada's latest edition of Better Places. I'm Simon Garshaw, Deputy Managing Director at Canada Consulting. And today we're once again delighted to be joined by Tom Slade, the Chairman of the City of London Corporation's Planning and Transportation Committee at, I think what we all recognise, another crucial juncture for the city. So welcome, Tom. As Harold Wilson famously said, a week's a long time in politics. And that's never been more true than last week in the Square Mile, particularly regarding the progress of the city's much-vaunted city plan, which obviously we appreciate great stores being put by and setting future direction for investment in the Square Mile. So last time we met, there was obviously natural confidence that with the hearings and consultation complete, the new city plan would be progressing to the Planning and Transportation Committee and then the Courts of Common Council for adoption before the summer. And then obviously the Minister of State at the Ministry for Housing, Communities and Local Government, Matthew Pennycook, has intervened, requesting the city reopen the hearing and consider some alternatives to balancing heritage and growth, including alternative third-party submissions. So I can imagine, Tom, just start that the city is very frustrated by this turn of events, particularly at this later stage. And so when did you first receive notification that MHCLG might be having some second thoughts? And what do you understand prompted the minister's intervention, particularly at this late stage?
Thank you, Simon. Yeah, and you summarise kind of where we've got to so far very well. We first heard when everyone heard, which was the letter from MHCLG, which was publicly available, which is why kind of everyone found out about it about the same time. And look, I don't want to try to second guess motivations, because there weren't any in the letter, and we can only take Whitehall at face value. And so I guess, therefore, I'm interested in what it actually means in practice. And what it means in practice is, I mean, in the short term, relatively straightforward, which is a delay in the adoption of our plan. The risk, I think, is that that delay could be quite open-ended. So we still haven't, what are we now, a week later, been given a date for a hearing or series of hearings. We haven't been told if additional information will be required, which would require, you know, potentially commissioning complex work, which would take time. There's been no kind of target for when this thing should be wrapped up. So that's injected genuine uncertainty into the, I would say, central London market for particularly commercial real estate. You probably saw, however, that this is kind of now escalated. And our plan suspension has now knocked on to Tower Hamlets. And so the inspections which are due to take place this week of the Tower Hamlets plan, well, they're now postponed. And I don't think they have a date either. So suddenly we're in this very unfortunate position of having two local development plans, so growth plans, one for the City of London, which is £110 billion of economic output every year, one for Tower Hamlets, which has some really important work to do in housing, but also has Canary Wharf. And Canary Wharf, I think, is, I don't know, it's well over £10 billion a year of economic output. And again, you know, 150,000 jobs to our 675,000 jobs. So in a stroke, with one letter, you've suddenly suspended these two kind of crucially important to the economy, crucially important growth plans. And so we were, I think, rightfully very frustrated when we got the news, and are still very concerned at the open-endedness of this, and frankly don't think they need to happen again. We think the process was heard, it was run through fully a year ago, all the arguments were heard, it was settled, and it's just unnecessary to have to reopen it.
And is the city having dialogue, or obviously sharing notes and comparing notes with Tower Hamlets, obviously, given the impact upon them as well?
Yes, I mean, you probably saw that the mayor of Tower Hamlets put a statement out, responded to some press interest on that. We have good relations with all of our neighbours, and absolutely our teams are comparing notes on this, which is why we understand the scale of the problem and the scale of the challenge that they face and we face as a result of this.
And obviously, we've discussed previously that you've worked extremely hard as personally and the corporation to build relations with the heritage sector. So where do you feel this intervention leaves that relationship between the city and the sector, particularly.
Yeah, look, we work really closely across a range of City of London functions with the heritage sector at pretty much every level, and we have good relations. We kind of co-launched with Historic England. We co-launched a supplementary plan document on heritage a couple of weeks ago. So I don't think this is about us v heritage at all, and I haven't really heard it framed like that. This really is simply kind of growth versus delay, and to be more precise, growth versus unnecessary delay.
And does the city have any views? Obviously, I assume I appreciate it dealt with and discussed through the hearing as to the alternative jelly moulds, including from heritage sector bodies, which were put forward that had been stated in the letter. Have any particular views on those at the moment, or implications if they were ultimately the preferred option put forward?
Yeah, so we have talked about this, and this did all come up in the hearing, which again is rather the point. Like, this is all done, and I'm concerned that if the hearings go ahead this year, it'll be the same people with the same spreadsheets in the same room. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, we did of course look at it, but just to kind of take a step back, our jelly mould is the expression of height contours across the square mile where we think you can build big and where you can't build big. And it's a kind of a guideline for that. And that is a function of a variety of heritage sightlines and restrictions, particularly regarding St. Paul's, but also regarding the Tower of London. So it's already massively shaped by heritage, which is great. I mean, that's a London thing that works. And we figured out where you can, in our view, build big. Then, so the letter we received said there is particularly one alternative concept around trimming back the cluster of towers that could be built, according to our jelly mould. So trimming back the cluster of towers that could be built on the eastern fringe of the city. And the net reduction of that plan versus our plan is actually relatively low. The net reduction is just a few percent. The problem is a few percent of a very large number is still a large number indeed, right? But secondly, that 2% would almost entirely, because it's all about the tower, be entirely focused on a very narrow strip at the east of the city. And it would be far more than 2% of a small number of sites, let's say 10 to 15 sites. And they would receive such a dramatic reduction that they'd become non-viable. So really, the alternative scheme, unfortunately, the net effect of that, in kind of practical terms, is to sterilise a strip of land on the eastern side of the most productive square mile in Britain, possibly the most productive square mile on the planet, which makes absolutely no sense if you're interested in, you know, trying to generate growth and economic output and jobs.
Yeah, I understand that. That's a particular area where a huge amount obviously would be focused. So I guess at this moment, given you've touched on some of the uncertainty as well, what do you feel the intervention means for confidence we've talked about to invest in the square mile? And I guess what would be your message to developers who are already investing, bringing forward schemes, particularly in some of those areas you've touched on, to based on what you felt or what was felt to be the emerging jelly moulds that was expected to be part of the city plan?
So, I mean, I can talk to what I've experienced since we heard about this decision. I mean, and I've had lots of phone calls from both developers, but also international investors. And let's remember, particularly international investors can choose to deploy their capital pretty much anywhere. And one of the major factors in the decisions they make is risk. And delay is risk, but also uncertainty is risk, obviously. And this is just added risk. And people are asking that question, what does this mean? My advice to those who are, say, in a pre-application process or thinking about entering into one is we're still open for business. We're still open for business. We still have this award-winning planning team who are hyper-responsive. We're a pro-growth planning authority. We get things done fast. Don't be nervous because of this. Come and talk to us. I have to say, as annoying and as frustrating as this is for us, because it's unnecessary and because of the uncertainty it's creating, I'm nonetheless absolutely confident that our team will go into those hearings with all the evidence that they've compiled over the years and will make a brilliant case, and I'm confident that we'll come out with the same result as before. I can't guarantee that, but that's my view.
And obviously, in the meantime, where does that balance sit? Because I appreciate there's an existing adopted city plan at the moment, which obviously is guiding a huge amount or has guided investment for a long time. And where will yourself and your officers be looking in terms of where to put most of the weight between the existing adopted plan and the incoming plan?
Yeah, and this is kind of the magic sauce in all of this. So 2015 is the date of our last local plan. And over the last best part of a decade, we've been writing City Plan 2040. And ever since we formally voted for it a few years ago, it's already now being taken into material consideration in our planning system. And that essentially took more and more weight every day that went by. But that was partly in anticipation of it being adopted. I think we need to now just do the work on whether the weight needs to shift again slightly. I suspect not. And the reason for that is the letter that we received from Whitehall was very clear that the only issue they had was this very particular strip on the eastern side of the cluster, and every other element of the plan they didn't have an issue with, so essentially was sound. So there is an incredibly high probability that whatever happens with that part of the cluster, all the rest of the plan will be adopted in due course. The problem is just the timing of it. So I think it's probably still roughly weighted the same as it was 3 weeks ago.
And lastly, obviously, you've touched on timing is really, really important to look to resolve this issue. And I understand that no indication of timing or timings for reopening the hearings have been given. So, I mean, in terms of internally, is there any feeling as to what timescale you're working to? Is there any precedent that you've looked at in terms of timescales for reopening these hearings? But are colleagues fully mobilised and ready to go?
Yes, we're mobilised and we're ready to go. We haven't received notification yet of any dates or timelines. So I guess to whoever has their hands on the levers of these things, I would say our position is the sooner this can happen, the better. And that would be weeks and not months. Yeah. If it has to drift past, say, much after the summer recess into Q4, I think you do start having an investor confidence issue. So we urge whoever's in charge or responsible for setting these timeframes to pay consideration to that.
And so the big picture message, just to finish, is City is still here, still open for investments. And if you've got ideas or schemes, to come and talk to the planning team, and you'll do your best to find your way through it.
I'll go one better, which is that we just looked at the planning application pipeline, and once again, we've had a record-breaking month. Yeah. So this year is going to be a fantastic year for applications coming into the city. We're getting through them speedily, thoroughly. We have a record amount of construction on site. We're getting things done, which is why it's so frustrating to have this delay forced upon us unnecessarily. So yeah, we're open for business.
Brilliant. Thank you once again, Tom, for your time. Insightful as ever, and obviously we wish you and officers all the best in resolving this 11th hour in Broglie and finding a way forward to keep securing that confidence and investment in the square mile.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Cheers.